You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. And welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Prime Time on a Thursday afternoon. How's it going, Peter?
All right.
And our guest here is Stella Ursua.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good. Nice to meet you. We're looking forward to getting to know you today and getting to know everything as you do. Man. But what a crazy night last night, huh?
It was a lot of activity. Exene was interesting. She was a spitfire.
Exactly. We were happy to have Ian Blackburn from LearnAboutWines.com. That's our first guest.
He took over the
first
hour. Brought some awesome wines.
Brought some great wines in. And,
that was fun, too.
That was a wonderful way to get started.
Mm-hmm. And then he can come back anytime.
Exactly. And then Exene Cervinka from the band X from way back. They've been still doing it for, 35 years
now. I guess. Oh.
And she was outstanding, too. So what a wonderful, wonderful night last night with those two. And then, of course, you know, our usual T-Bone's time out, and all the news stories and everything. We ran a little over,
yeah,
but it was good. We once again want to thank all of those who tuned in and who tune in every week to check out what it is we do here.
That's right.
What do we do?
Still working on that.
Your morning started off all right?
Doing all right. I'm yet again working on the book. Now I'm editing maps, and it's not hard work. It's just tedious. I got to go through then I got to go to the office to get them scanned so I can then send them to them. It's just a process. But I'm almost done with them. And then I got to finish up with some content as far as like chapter intros and what have you.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's what I was working on today.
You got what's his name? Lance Armstrong writing your...
No, unfortunately Lance was busy. I do have the Coast Keeper, the Orange County Coast Keeper, though.
Yeah, you wrote
the foreword on the book, so that would be kind of nice.
Actually, I'm still available if you need me.
All right. Let's see how that goes.
Hey, let's take our first break.
For the record, I forgot to tell you. I meant to tell you yesterday. I got the proofs, the galleys. That's what I'm working with yesterday for the ride that you and I did together.
Oh, wow.
And Swoop is officially in the book.
There you go, man. Swooping by.
That's right.
That was a nice ride, too.
That was fun.
Nice ride. You listen to Swoop's Run on the Talk Show Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break and come back and introduce you to our guests. In the meantime, you're going to listen to The Virus. And this is Exene.
The virus is hiding, it's shaking, it's free. Driving your foot like it's running the screen.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you.
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me, and to a 7-year-old...
That means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Can you hand me that big screwdriver?
Why?
Because I need to loosen a screw.
Why?
Because I have to change the oil filter.
Why?
Because I love you.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Why?
Take time to be a dad today.
For more information, dial 1-877-432-3411 or visit us at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, this is Sharp Mo on the wall, and you're listening to Swoops World.
And welcome back to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network, where we're interactive, live, and archive. You can always like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you ever need to send us an email, it's swoopsworld@gmail.com. And we're happy to have as our guest today Stella Ursua, from Green Education Incorporated, and also the you've been newly elected board member for GoCatalyst, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you kind of got started and what you do.
Okay, good deal. Well, first off, thank you both for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. And knowing that I'm following Exene the day after, that's pretty exciting. So... That's really neat. But I was born and raised in Pomona, which is about 40 miles from here, and went to school there and spent probably the first 18 years there in Pomona, and then moved around from there. Ended up here in the Long Beach area back in the early 80s. And I think I kind of made the rounds of the different neighborhoods, North Long Beach, and then moved right there to the tip of Long Beach, Lakewood area. And over to Lakewood Village, and now I'm over in downtown. I was a corporate trainer for many, many years, and got laid off one too many times, and decided, you know, I don't think I want to do this again, because training is usually the first group to go when there's like big layoffs, right? And so I thought, you know, what do I really want to do with my life? And that was back in 2008, and that was when President Obama was first starting to, he was out there in his campaign talking about green jobs, renewable energy, energy efficiency, and then I heard a gentleman by the name of Van Jones start to talk about a green economy, and I said, you know, this sounds really interesting, so I thought, let me start to do research and start to get some education under my belt. Like I said, I'm 20 years in training. I ran a training department for a couple of different organizations out there. So I thought I could take those skills and transition over to this green world.
Cool. Now, how has, anytime you start anything new, and not only when you're talking about starting something new for yourself, you know, green economy and green jobs is relatively new also, so you're really kind of doing the new thing.
Yes.
How has it been so far, and how's growth come along?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the tough part. It has been challenging, especially with the recession. I think it was actually a depression that we've been going through. But, you know, I started to do the research, and actually was working with a veterans organization, and I became their first green jobs coordinator. And so from there, that was a really good experience because I started to learn about the different industries and areas where we could potentially connect veterans that were coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan to these, you know, green jobs, but also the training that that they would need to acquire to move into these fields. And so that's how I really started to get in there. Worked with them for a little bit, then went to work for one of the actual schools. They were doing solar installation training. That was kind of neat, and I thought, you know, with my background, I think I would probably do this myself. I just find those subject matter experts,
right,
that, you know how to install, that have the background, And so then we started the school, the North American School of Green Technology. And so that's been the tricky part. So it's, you know, you have to deal with the bureaucracy. Yes. Up in Sacramento, there's an organization up there that determines whether you're going to start a school or not. You know, it's a private vocational school. And so a lot of red tape, a lot of, you know, just running around, and we're still dealing with that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why we went the nonprofit route. So we're trying to find grants, you know, mm-hmm. in the meantime, right?
Right.
But, you know, we have a couple of curriculums that we're offering, you know, like solar installation, like the basic foundational skills, and energy efficiency retrofitting. And so those are some of the programs that we were going to be offering. And we'd be working with, like, workforce investment boards, you know, like the unemployment offices, EDD, one-stop centers, nonprofits, different organizations that had a client base that were looking for jobs, that, you know, looking for new careers.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you, when you know, when people talk about green jobs, and I think we all kind of think about solar and wind and things like that, and a couple things you mentioned, but I got to imagine it's a lot more than that.
Absolutely.
And what different types of things could people, you know, say, well, you know, I want to look into this.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of options do they have?
Sure. You know, and I'm glad you asked that, because I just came from Beach High. There were about 40 students, 9th and 10th graders in there, and so I did a little workshop for them called What the Heck is a Green Collar Job? And so lots of folks immediately think about solar. Oh, I don't want to be on that roof. It's too hot up there, right? And so I share with the folks in the class that it's much more than solar, right? We're talking about energy efficiency positions, green building positions, professions in hybrid alternative fuel vehicles, electric vehicles, urban farming, you know, even recycling, composting, reuse of products. Those are some of the big industries that are you know, taking off, where we see the job growth.
Right.
So it's not just about solar, most definitely.
And a lot of these jobs, I would imagine that there's positions within those jobs for anybody with, you know, maybe just a high school diploma, or somebody,
yes,
who's actually got an advanced degree.
Yes,
also.
Yes, absolutely. And that's something that I stress to kids out there, to young adults, is, you know, because, you know, we're in a difficult situation. They might not be able to afford to go to college, right? You know, maybe they attend a city or community college, which is fantastic, because some of these colleges are offering these types of programs. You can go in there, get a certificate. You can come to our school, get a certificate type of program under your belt. And, you know, with those basic skills, then, you know, you get your foot in the door of one of these solar company or energy efficiency company, right? And you start to learn more about that particular profession.
Yeah.
You know, the certificate gets you in there. It's the on-the-job training that's going to obviously make the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, the economy sucks and
yeah,
all that. How is the green economy faring as far as job
mm-hmm.
opportunities? Is this a good time to move into this sort of thing? If for those who might be considering it,
yeah.
Or
yeah, I really believe so. And we talk about that in the workshop, that these particular industries are some of the only industries that continue to grow. And there's more jobs projected. For example, energy efficiency auditors and retrofitters. We need lots of folks to start to learn that particular profession, because there are a lot of programs out there, not just in California, but throughout the United States, where they're looking for individuals, you know, again, to learn the basic skills, work with a contractor that's been certified. He or she is a building performance analyst, and they're the ones that are certified to go in and make all the retrofits to your home. So,
you know, mm-hmm. when you're to piggyback off of what you
mm-hmm.
said, one of the reasons people I hear people discussing things and about green jobs and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and what inevitably comes up is that Solyndra failed. But that's not the only company that's out there doing this, right?
Right.
It's like any other, you know, job or,
yeah,
or industry.
Absolutely.
Some make it, some don't,
right? Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate that's the gauge. You know, everyone
yeah.
looks at that and says, oh, God, solar, you know, it's failing. You know, I mean, go just take a trip around California and you can see all the solar farms that are being installed right now. There's a big project over in L.A. that they're trying to get going where they will take commercial buildings and install solar on those buildings. And it's part of this process. Gosh darn it, I'm thinking of the, trying to think of the name of the, it's like a power purchase agreement, there you go, where the business owners and the city and the utilities all come together, and the solar panels are like dirt cheap. And you know their energy bills go down, way down, and they're selling back to you know to a utility. So neat programs that are going on like that, and bringing jobs back into the city instead of you know out in the desert and Palmdale, Lancaster, out towards Vegas. You know.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I saw I think we talked about it. I saw a place right off the 405 where. I think it's their parking is all carports, but their parking is huge. It's like a stadium parking. I forget what the company is, but the entire parking lot is covered with solar panels.
Yes.
So, and I have to imagine that that's generating energy for for the building there.
Exactly. Yeah, people are starting to look at all avenues, and it's really exciting because, you know, for me, those are jobs, you know, and putting people back to work. And you know the other side of the coin is obviously we're doing something to clean up the environment to reduce CO2 emissions to get our economy going again. So it's a win-win. You know, so whether it's a carport or on commercial buildings or you know like I don't know if you've heard of the Great Alternatives. They're a nonprofit that works in low-income underserved communities, and they put these solar panels on through individuals and corporations. Making donations to the organization, the family gets their solar panels free.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, some really neat programs.
Yeah.
When
you when we see things that say like LEED certification, what exactly does that entail?
Yeah, good question. And I'm glad you asked that because I'm also a regional student chair with the United States Green Building Council. And that's who came up with the whole LEED certification or the criteria. And that stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. And so that building has passed certain criteria you know, for different levels. You know, there's like gold, silver, platinum, and a certified building. And you're seeing lots and lots more of those buildings here in California and around the United States. I wish I brought those numbers with me. But it's really neat because, you know, you're considering, well, first off, the individuals that are involved in building that structure, you know, your architects, your contractors, designers, electricians, HVAC specialists, all those individuals are working together so that they come up with the most energy efficient plan for that building, right? And so, you know, again, whether it's lighting, air conditioning, windows, flooring, you know, the way the building's going to set, you know, the you know, whether it has solar on the roof, all of that is considered, you know, as they start to plan for the building. And so you're trying to reduce your energy consumption, water consumption, create a healthy environment. And indoor air quality is something that is looked at very closely. So all of those factors go into building a green building. And the neat thing, like here in California, we pretty much lead the way in you know entire United States as far as building codes. So every building here, new building here in California, has to be built following green standards now. So that's really neat. Again, that means you know more jobs.
Right.
You know, so
cool. Well, I'm wondering, you know. For the naysayers out there, what's the argument there? You know, because you hear the people, oh, it's just, it's bullshit, it's a fad, it's passed through, you know, whatever the case might be. And I'm sure you encounter them. What, how do you deal with people like that?
Yeah.
There's, I know there's those who are just pigheaded and aren't going to listen
right.
to it, but there's always those who, you know, I don't think it's right, blah, blah, blah. And they, maybe there's an opportunity. How do you deal with those
people?
Sure.
Well, you know, I try to come from their frame of reference, you know. So, like for example, the kids that were in that class today, you know, I had some kids that, you know, they're like, I'm gonna go work at McDonald's. I'm like, well, you know, that's fine. You know, that's a
Make
decent
sure it's a
job.
Lead certified McDonald's.
There you go. But I said, look, you know, McDonald's, nothing wrong with that. You know, for a first job. How much are you going to make there? $8 an hour? Yeah, probably about, you know, minimum wage. I said, you know what? Green jobs pay a little bit more than that. Yeah, you've got to do a little studying and get your certification. But we're talking about, you know, $12 to $15 to start, you know, some of these different professions, some of these different industries. So, you know, again, from their frame of reference. But, you know, for folks that I talk to out there on a day-to-day basis, you know, I try to remind them about the current situation that we're in. You know, there's an oil shortage. We're going to run out of oil soon, right? And we've been talking about that for years. You know, the most of the oil is in the Middle East. You know, do we want to keep going out there, you know, looking for oil and getting into, you know, various conflicts to acquire that oil? Or do we find new energy sources, right? And so, you know, that gets some of the people. You know, I always talk about that, you know, there's money in green, right? You can make a decent living. There's good living wage jobs.
A lot of people, that's I think, surprised a lot, because a lot of people think it's a hippie thing.
Yeah, no.
You know, and that, because, no. Which means there can't be any money involved.
Heck no. You know, I meet different individuals from different corporations out there, and they're getting on the bandwagon. Every day, you know, I subscribe to different like green online news sites, and so they'll send updates about, you know, this company is starting to go green, they're trying to become more energy efficient, these folks are investing in solar, or they're converting their fleets to hybrid vehicles, you know, Verizon and, you know, some of the different phone companies out there, UPS, FedEx. Right, they're all doing different things with like electric trucks.
Right.
So, you know, you can see it's starting to snowball now, and I think within the next couple of years we're going to see more and more organizations go that way. And it saves you money. I mean, to become more energy efficient, you're going to save money in the long run.
Well, I've had this conversation dozens of times with people.
Yeah.
I'm a believer, and so I was just playing devil's advocate there. You know, the thing I've always said this is that, you know, the green ideas are great, but really, green economy and green everything will happen when it becomes worth it for the businesses. Because the businesses have to evaluate. UPS is a perfect example. They have to evaluate. So we get a whole new fleet of trucks.
Exactly.
Too much money.
Yeah.
Gas goes up. Oil goes up. Now they're going, these trucks are costing us a lot of money, and we've got to replace them anyhow.
Yeah.
What's the best way? And that's, you know, because you get the naysayers who say all these problems aren't happening. But the surest sign is the bottom line.
It's the bottom line.
What are the companies doing?
to
you know, because they don't care. They don't care about those debates. Mm-hmm. What they care about is making dollars.
Right.
And like any business, you know, every penny saved, penny
that's
earned,
right.
And that's when they start making those. It's an exciting prospect.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on the other side of the coin, if you ever have a chance, check out this movie. Maybe you've seen it, Climate Refugees. And you know, those, you know, the naysayers aren't going to like this movie, you know, because, you know, we talk in the movie, it talks about it's a documentary, it talks about climate change,
right?
And you know that this is happening all over the world, right? You know what happened in the Gulf, you know, the tornadoes that are happening more frequently in the United States, the huge droughts that we're having in Europe. I mean, here, look, in Texas, right, where, you know, 3/4 of the state is in, you know, so I mean, we need to do something quick, you know.
But you know what I like along those lines, sorry to cut you off, Amanda, is the whole idea that Exxon was one of those companies that for a long time funded a lot of stuff to counter. But at the same time, Exxon had budgeted, but there's a whole department in Exxon that goes and evaluates the cost of climate change. Mm-hmm. Like what? So, okay,
right.
Our refineries are here and bigger waves. We have to. So it's funny, on the one hand, and they're not the only ones, but that was the one that struck me. And it's like, on the one hand, some of these people or industries are like trying to downplay it, and at the other hand, still leveraging against it, hedging against it.
That's why they give money to both.
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, they're always going to hedge their bets.
Yeah.
My question is with any new industry or any new, you know, industry, best term at this point, you have people who come in who really like we call it greenwashing, right? They say they're doing these things green, and then you read the bottom line, and they're going, well, we tell our employees to turn their lights out when they leave the bathroom. I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, that when you have a mentality like that, and when you find out things like that, it kind of diminishes from what you're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen uptick in these types of things, or is that starting to fade away now? People are starting to be more concrete in their efforts.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. There was a speaker by the name of Eric Corey Freed, who does a fantastic presentation. If you ever have the chance, he's an architect, and one of his slides has a picture of the restaurant Hooters. And they said something about going green. And he says, what in here speaks green? You know, there's nothing here that talks about, you know, how they're going green. It's just a couple of, you know, scantily clad women, you know, serving hot, you know,
saving on
hot
fabric.
Wings. There you go. There you go. They're saving fabric. Yeah, maybe they're reusing their, you know, their uniforms or something. I don't know. But, you know, be honest with you, Swoop, I don't see that many companies. I'm sure they're out there. The ones that I'm dealing with are, you know, the real genuine stuff.
I think there's been enough backlash in those cases, you know. Ford, I think, was one of those that got hit on that really hard. Something about their car being more efficient and yada, yada. And they did a whole green campaign around it, and then it just really backfired. And, and I think others paid attention to that. They're like, we don't want to make that multi-million dollar mistake.
Yeah. Blunder.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about some of the companies that we bring to the table. We have council called the Southern California Green Economic Council, and it's part of the nonprofit. Every month, we bring in different companies to talk about what they're doing out there, right? And so we'll have a theme for every month. So like one month was solar, energy efficiency, recycle, reuse, that sort of thing, electric vehicles. Last month we had a gentleman from the reuse people. Don't know if you've heard of them, but instead of demolishing buildings, they deconstruct. So they take it down piece by piece, and they reuse all that material, right? Another speaker was talking about recycling batteries, you know, because a lot of people still toss them in the trash. Where should those things go, right?
Yeah.
So he's made a container for that so that, you know, you remind yourself to put them there, then you can take them to a recycling center. A friend of mine, a woman, started an organization called Anew, and so she takes old used office furniture and refurbishes it, and I mean everything inside that office, because she tells a story about way back in the day when they would just toss that stuff out the window into the trash bins outside. Yeah. And she said, this is ridiculous, you know, all this stuff going to landfills. Instead, why don't we do a little refurbishment, put people to work, and get it back out to somebody's office that can't afford this stuff, you know. So she delivers to a lot of nonprofits and folks that just can't afford it.
Well, you know, it seems to me that education is a big thing, because, we talk to people all the time, and you talk to people about, you know, stuff and something, and I've heard people say, you know what, I would love to, but I don't know where, right? So mm-hmm. If I don't know where to recycle my batteries, they're going in the trash.
That's right.
If I don't know how to get somebody to come and take this and work with it, it's going in the trash.
That's right.
So there needs to be a big push for education-wise.
Yes.
And I gather, based on what I'm reading and what you've told us, that's kind of what you do. I mean, you put people together, you put projects and education.
Exactly.
But on the grand scale, how difficult is it to get the word out?
It is difficult. Gosh, I'm telling you. The Economic Council, the speaker series that we do every month, you know, we get about 30, 35 people there on a good night. And we try to promote, you know, every which way we can. And still, you know, it's a small group. But, you know, my hope is that they'll go and tell 3-5 other people, right? And then we'll get them at the next meeting. The green job workshops that I do. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, out of that group of 40 today, that 5 of them will go home and talk to their parents and say, you know what, there might be something there for me. And so, you know, that's what we try to do. I mean, every week we're out there. We're starting some green homes workshops. We'll be working with a group over in West Long Beach to talk about energy efficiency and how they can take advantage of some of the incentives that are out there for homeowners and create an energy efficient and a safe home.
Well, you know, just day to day, I think a lot of times people learn to live with things, mm-hmm. and they don't realize I've been guilty as guilty of it as anybody else. You don't realize in the long run how much you're losing. Like, you have a drafty part of the house or a window or a little area that gets cold in the winter all the time, and because it's not a good seal and things like that. And I think lots of times you've lived with something so long, it's an old house or things like that, and they don't realize that by doing certain things, it's actually going green. And they're saving themselves the cost in the long run. And I think a lot of times with things like this, people don't look long term. You know, it's like, if I invest in it now, oh my gosh, am I out this kind of money? But you get that return on investment in 12, 14, 16 months sometimes.
Right.
So,
right.
Is there, you know, I think lots of times, with programs and things like the Green Festival coming up this weekend, that's where you can find out things, and it kind of makes a little light bulb come up over your head.
Absolutely,
right?
and Swoop, I'm glad you brought up the Green Long Beach Festival, because we have about 50 vendors, we have about 20 plus workshops that are going to be conducted there, various entertainers, and so this is our fourth year. I'm one of the core team members, and a little shout out to all the core team members, because we're all volunteers. We do this just, you know, because we want to get the word out. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do. Along with the festival, on any given day of the week, you'll find somebody out there from the Green Long Beach team that's working with schools or nonprofits, different organizations, the city, to try to create more awareness, whether it's for, for recycling or, you know, composting, or energy efficiency, whatever the subject, we're out there, you know, trying to make people more aware about that. And the festival is kind of a culmination of a year's worth of activities, and we try to bring everybody together. We try to showcase those individuals that are trying to start their own companies with, you know, different types of green products or services, and we have all sorts of grassroots sponsors that come together to help make this happen, because we don't have a budget, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a really neat thing, and please come on out. Everybody out there listening, please come on out this Saturday from 11 to 8 at Marina Green.
Very good.
Yeah.
You know, when you start talking about things, you know, some things that are much better for us to do, you know, our ancestors did. You know, you start talking about composting and things like that. And, you know, we had Ani Pio on, she's a raw foodist, and she was talking about when she started composting and things like that, she realized that she just had less waste and better plants. But, you know, in over the last, I don't know, 5-8 years, I started to meet more and more people that actually do that. I remember I bought my first compost bin. It was kind of a pain in the butt. I had to order it, and I couldn't find, and I mean, I, the kind I wanted, but I really couldn't find too many choices locally, and now you can find them just about. You know, you can throw a stone and find the compost bin.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good thing. Again, more and more people are starting to pay attention and starting to try these things. And you're right. You know, I mean, that's something I talk about in the workshops. That, you know, green jobs have been around forever. They just didn't know they had a green job back then. You know, but composting or recycling. I know some folks that do a lot of work with reuse of products.
Yeah.
And so they're taking stuff that was going to end up in the trash and making something new out of it, you know. So that's really neat to see. And you know, talk about entrepreneurs there, you know. They're trying to make do and make use of those things that are going to end up in the trash and reselling this stuff. And so neat little businesses, you know, that are starting to pop up out there.
Yeah. How do people... I'm sure, because it's all, I mean, it's a lot of volunteer stuff. How do people get involved if they wanted to get involved with green education? Or you mentioned you founded the Southern California Green Economic Council.
Yes.
If people want to get involved in those endeavors, how do they go about doing it?
Yeah. Gosh, I would love to have some help.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They can go to our website at www.greeneducationinc.org. They can also find me on Facebook, the Southern California Green Economic Council, and I would love to have volunteers that would help us put these programs together. With the Economic Council, that speaker series that we do, we try to go into every neighborhood. And so we've done stuff in downtown, West Long Beach. I'm trying to think some of the other neighborhoods. This month in June, we'll be over in District 5 over at El Dorado Park at the Senior Center. And I'm hoping to do something in North Long Beach. And, oh, we've been here to Bixby Knowles to the expo. Uh-huh. And so I just want to keep, you know, that thing moving around so that more and more of the local residents will find out about it and will hopefully attend those meetings. And, again, you know, tell 3, 4, 5 people and, you know, bring them to the event. And we keep this whole thing growing and you know, more people learning about green. Yeah.
Excellent. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back. You're listening to Swoops World, a prime time on the Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest is Stella Ursua, and we'll be right back after this.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Talk Story Radio.
Hello, this is Lady Vajayjay, and you're listening to Swoops World Radio.
And welcome back to Swoops World Primetime on the Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest is Stella Ursua from the Green Education Incorporated. Welcome back to the show, Stella.
Thank you.
What, with all the things you have going on and everything, but what's the next step for you? I mean, you're doing a lot with partnerships and trainings and projects, but what is the next step for you?
You know, I think it's still in education. That's my life. I would love to start a completely green school here in Long Beach. And I've been talking to some folks about that from the Port of Long Beach, from Unified School District. There's a school over in Lawndale. If you ever have a chance to go, they do a student-led tour. It's called the Environmental Charter High School. And I have been just so impressed by this high school. A woman by the name of Allison Diaz started the school. She was a teacher over at one of the schools there in Lawndale, and she had a passion for sustainability and environmental awareness, and so she, along with some teachers, created this curriculum. It's called the Green Ambassador Institute curriculum. And so what they do is they incorporate green sustainability into every subject, right? So if you're talking about math, you're learning about sustainability. You know, if it's English or, you know, science, whatever the subject is, you know, there's a component of green in there. And the kids are super smart. Over about 92% of the kids there, everyone graduates, 92% are actually accepted into universities and Cal States. I think those are some pretty pretty decent results right there.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like we're at that same point where we were a few years back, before the big tech boom, and you start seeing kids starting to take some computer science classes, kind of learning a little bit about computers, and then next thing you know, it exploded. It became, well, it's how we are able to do what we do today. I have a feeling this is about the same kind of time period, right?
Yeah.
We're just there where, you know, you're talking about people that actually put the schools together, and you can kind of learn these things, and
exactly.
then, you know, take it as a career throughout your life.
Yeah.
So we could be looking, you know, 15, 20 years from now, how wonderful and how many jobs there are, how many things we don't even know about today that are being done, you know, down the road.
Right, right. Well, you know, and I think we're at a really good place, Swoop, right now, because there are a number of Long Beach schools, middle and high schools that have green academies, right? And so they're doing something already. So this, you know, this green curriculum would just basically, you know, take it to the next level. I mean, some of those kids, there's a young lady there that, and she'll admit to you that she was not sold on green when she first started that school. She is now a green school advisor. She's going all over the country. She just came back from India.
Yeah.
And she was talking to kids and to teachers out there about the school, about the curriculum, and how wonderful it is. She's got an agent now. and the other kids that I met there, I mean, they're doing fantastic things. They had an Earth Day, but they call it Earth Carnival. They bust in like 50 different schools, just busloads of kids from, you know, from third grade up. And they had this event, student-led, student-created. They, you know, obviously they had direction from the teachers, but you know, at every 5-10 feet, they had a different booth and a different activity, and kids were learning about, you know, air pollution and how to grow their own food and composting, and oh my God, it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I think, God, if we could have something like that here in Long Beach, that would just be so. Just a really neat thing. So that's what I want to do in the next couple of years. Yeah, just trying to bring the right people together to collaborate, make this happen, find some foundations that are interested in creating these types of schools.
Excellent.
And not just here in Long Beach. I mean, you can go anywhere with this. You know. So, yeah.
What's your experience about how Long Beach is doing in this whole process? They seem to be proactive most of the time, but cities are notoriously fits and starts. What's been your experience?
You know, I know that there were several schools that just won green ribbon awards. One Longfellow, right? So I mean that is really cool. That's quite an honor, and they just had a big conference over there in D.C. where they brought all these schools together. So you know that's a great start. And again, I know that you know there's different schools out there. Jordan High has a academy called the Ace Academy. That's art. Right?
Yeah, we've worked with them.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
We've worked with them. Nice.
Yeah.
I remember the students were going out and retrofitting homes for, especially for the elderly, and helping make repairs.
Nice.
I forgot about that.
And you know that's the whole point of this type of a curriculum as well, is to reach out into the community, to look at the problems that your community is facing, and to try and problem solve and get people involved to help solve those issues. So,
you know, it's like we talked about, education is a big thing, and you know, we see a lot of people. Let this plane go by real quick. A lot of people are talking about, like, when they sell their houses or when they're getting their house ready for sale, they do certain things that they say makes it more energy efficient and more green. And buyers are looking for that now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what I've also kind of, based on the things I've heard and read and stuff like that, what happens with a lot of people, you were talking about the naysayers and stuff like that, is when they're told basically in doom and gloom, it doesn't change their opinion. I don't believe certain things. But when they're told, like you said, bottom line, that, you know, by doing this, you're going to save yourself money in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this, you're going to eat fresher food. Because everybody's got something that's important to them.
Right, right.
And, you know, if it's when things are approached that way, I think lots of times the people you were discussing earlier with the naysayers, they're more accepting because certain things people are trying hard to change their beliefs on.
Right, right.
So you got to hit them where it's important to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is so true. My other half works for an organization that is it's all about, you know, education and working with homeowners to get them to create more energy efficient homes. And you know, you talk to some folks, and it's that $300-$400 electricity bill, right? So if you can find a way to, you know, to cut that in half, or yeah, you know, even by a quarter, right?
Yeah,
they're gonna listen to you.
Motivate them through their pocketbook.
Absolutely.
Pocketbook motivation. There you go. I just coined that phrase.
Pocketbook motivation. Okay.
You better go pat that because it's gonna be a billboard tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And Swoop, you were saying something earlier on about you just kind of get used to things, you know, whether it's in your home and your community, your environment. You know, I think all of us, you know, anyone that's been a homeowner, you have that home that was built maybe in the 50s or 60s, maybe even earlier. You've got one really cold room and one really hot room, right? And you just live with it, right? I mean, that's the way it is. Yeah. And so these types of improvements, and especially because of the incentives, the rebates, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And so, again, you just got to find that hot button out there, you know, whether it's, you know, you live close to the port and you're worried about, you know, pollution, or you've got that hot or cold room, or you've got this exorbitant electricity bill or water bill. You know, you start, you know, keying into that and really it really hits home.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're going to create a job for somebody as a result of the work that you're going to get, right?
Absolutely. Stella, you know, we've covered a lot, but we want to make sure we incorporate everything that you really want to talk about. Is there anything we haven't covered so far that you want to talk about?
Oh gosh. You know, I think I might have started to mention this. I belong to the United States Green Building Council as well. And so I'm a regional student chair. And so we go into colleges and actually community colleges, city colleges as well. And what we're trying to do is, again, create more awareness for green buildings. And so we're targeting, it's not a bad word, but we're trying to tap into, you know, those architecture students, engineering, environmental science, and you know, not just those students, but kind of focus in on them first to say, look, you know, you've chosen, you know, a great, you know, line of study, and you know, the professions in that particular industry, you know, are very promising. And if you think about the whole green building process that needs to take place now because of some of the regulations that we have, you know, we'd like to help you get there. And so the United States Green Building Council connects with these students. We create student groups, and they start to learn more about, you know, how to build green, how to build energy efficient. And we connect them to our networks. We have lots of, you know, again, architects, engineers, designers, interior designers, and everyone's doing something green-related, sustainably related, yeah.
Well, you know, all those professions you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those professions that I can think of off the top of my head have, for college students, some organization will have a contest each year. Design the best box. Design the best whatever. Are there organizations out there that having the same kind of contest, but it has to be green?
Yes, absolutely. And this is one of those organizations. There's a competition called Don't Be Trashy. And so that's for, like, freshman students, you know, and how to, again, be more sustainable, create less trash, you know, how to save energy. There's about three other competitions. There's the Green Apple Day, and kind of similar, you know, we're challenging students at colleges, you know, just, you know, how can you save energy? How can you create more energy efficiency in your, you know, in your classrooms or in your dorms, right? So those are the types of competitions that are going on. And again, it just creates more awareness. Yeah.
Excellent. Speaking of awareness, any book or anything, publication that you can think of that you would recommend to our listeners to, you know, who's saying, you know, hey, I'd like to kind of know more about this.
Or, yeah.
You know, what can I do to be a little bit more green? Is there something out there that you would recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. I might have mentioned Van Jones. He wrote a book a few years back called The Green Collar Economy. And in that book, that's where I got a lot of my, it really helped to create this, help me create this vision for what I wanted to do, right? Because he talks about the fact that people that look just like you and me need to be part of this whole green economy, right? That we need to be, part of the education process. We need to be, the workers that are making these changes happen, and that, through that we're going to create or recreate our middle class. We're going to clean up the environment, and create more awareness for sustainability. So I would say Van Jones, The Green Collar Economy. That's one that's really struck me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Stella, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And it was really impressive what you're doing.
Thank you.
And Peter and I, we really, anytime there's good things going towards the education of our youth, we really get excited about it.
Appreciate it.
For that, definitely.
Thank you so much. It was really a great experience. And I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about what's going on.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
well, thank
guys.
You. You listen to Swoops World and Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest is Stella Ursua, and she's from, get this right, Green Education Incorporated. And just as a reminder, next week on Swoops World Late Night, author Raymond Jacobs is our guest the first hour, and the band Acidic returns to the show. So looking forward to that. And other than that, have a safe and wonderful weekend, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.